right. Well, it's good to be here this afternoon, isn't it? Yeah. Amen. It's great to have you here. Hasn't it just been awesome so far? Amen. The word, the anointing, the presence of God that just settles in here and just, amen. Well, God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. So far. Our sister was sharing that word about blanketing, and the Lord quickened to my memory something he had spoken to me. This must have been back in March of this year, after I got snatched out of the grip of death. He spoke something to me one time while I was just worshiping him and in prayer, and it's amazing what you'll get when you just spend time in worship and in prayer. Amen. But I was just sitting there and worshiping in prayer, and he said, I'm blanketing in this end time. Now, I'm blanketing the earth with the gospel of the good news through signs, wonders, and miracles. Hallelujah. And that just brought, he just quickened that to me. That's a good word there. Amen. Amen. Just wrap yourself in that blanket this evening. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we've been dealing with what the Lord had just placed in Pastor Jack's spirit. And by the way, Pastor Jack, thank you again for having this conference for the past 4 years, and your church for the hospitality, amen, that you've always shown here. And I believe that, I mean, well, you're going to be a partaker of that. Amen? That this is like a first fruits. Amen? So you and your body are going to partake of that grace. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, so this year, every year, the Lord's been, I can't say every year, but most of the time we've done the Fivefold Ministry conference, the Lord's given Pastor Jack a theme. And this year, it's the Fivefold Ministry and how it pertains to our generation. And you can go through different generations. Pastor Jim did this morning considerably about the different generations and dispensations that God has moved through the Fivefold Ministry and through men and women of God. When we look at the Voice of Healing era, and that was a phenomenal move of the Holy Spirit and through men and women of God and the gifts of the Spirit. And I believe, in accordance with what the Holy Spirit's spoken to me, that we're moving into another era in revival and the move of the Spirit of God, where the Voice of Healing era, which was phenomenal, will actually pale. I'm fully persuaded of it will pale compared to what we're going into. And I tell you what, you know, I have a pretty considerable size of the Voice of Healing era magazines on PDF. And to see what God did during the late 40s, 50s, and very early 60s through men and women of God like Oral Roberts, A. A. Allen, William Branham, Jack Coe, many others, and some didn't make it out, to be honest. And that was a tragedy there. And these were great men and women of God who served God, and some didn't make it out of that era. They fell under the weight. They burned out. And Pastor Jim was touching on that this morning. But one year, a number of years ago, back in the, I guess, as the early 90s, when we went to ORU in the Mabee Center, right? Y'all remember that? And so we went to the Mabee Center, ORU University, and one of the ministers there stood up and he said, and he was talking to ministers, and it was a ICBM, the International Charismatic Bible Ministry, right? Yeah, yeah, something like that. So that it was acronymed after that, actually, right? So the minister gets up and he said, how many of you ministers, now these are ministers, in the past year have seriously considered quitting the ministry? It was basically along those lines. I don't know if that's word for word. If something doesn't happen at this conference, yeah, you are going to quit ministry. We're sitting there, and 75% of those ministers stood up. And we were sitting there, and our mouths fell open. And we were like, what? Burn out? Burn up, maybe, by staying on fire, but not burn out. And so people are looking over us like, where are they? Who do they think they are? And it had nothing to do with that. It was recognizing whose we are. Can you say amen? And when you know whose you are and what you have, it changes everything. Amen? And it had changed our lives in ministry. It had changed our destinies. And, it's exciting to be in a ministry that is truly word of faith and word based. Amen. I mean, because there's a lot of ministries out there that are, they claim to be word of faith. Okay, and word based, but you go into them and you're like, what's going on? And you don't have to turn on your TV long on the Christian channels to see what we're talking about. Amen. And I'm thankful. Don't take me wrong here, because I'm very grateful and thankful for the amount of word that we have today on the Christian networks, on the radio, TV, and so on and so forth. We're getting the word of God out, the quality of word out like never before. That's uncontestable. Amen. In the quality of word, and it's exciting. But I just happen to believe there's a lot more for us. Amen? Well, in every generation, God has raised up someone to lead, to testify, to bring forth revelation and manifestation to his people and those who do not yet know him. God's always used somebody to bring a message forth in their generation. And I don't think we've shared that scripture, have we yet, Pastor Jack? Well, go over to Acts chapter 13, if you will, with me. And verse 36. When you get there, say, I'm there. That was quick. Acts 13, verse 36, it says, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God. That's what we need to be after. Amen? The will of God. After he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep. That's what my translation says. King James says fell on sleep instead of fell asleep. I say fell asleep. Amen? But he whom God raised again saw no corruption, speaking of Jesus. Amen. So it's speaking about, I want to bring your attention to verse 36 where it says, David served God's purpose in his generation. Say his generation. By the will of God. In other words, by understanding God's will in his generation, he served God's purpose. And let me tell you something, beloved. God has a purpose for you in your generation. That's the generation we are living in right now. There is a specific assigned purpose for you. Say for me. Amen. You know, I've noticed for years, since I've been connected to God, born again, one of the tragedies I've noticed in the church world is how so many people, they'll live and die and never connect to God's purpose for their life. I mean, they'll spend their whole life and never really connect to God's purpose. Something that amazed me years ago, I was reading a Kenneth E. Hagin book, and he said, I mean, he was up there. I mean, he's well into this. This had to have been late 80s, early 90s. He said he'd been in ministry for years, and the Lord came to him and said, you've just entered the first phase of your ministry. And I was like, that is amazing. Because so many people, I mean, they'll spend years spinning wheels and never really get into the first phase of their ministry. So what's this mean? This means the first phase of our ministry is whatever God's directed you to do. Can you say amen? That's the first. If it's as in the early church in Acts chapter 6, that the seven were called to wait on tables, so to speak. I mean, they needed more wisdom than just waiting on tables, you understand? But that was the first phase of their ministry, because it was something specific that God had anointed and ordained them to do. Amen? So they served their purpose, and we see that two out of those seven went on to a higher calling. Can you say higher calling? Say, I have a higher calling. Amen. So two out of those seven went on to a higher calling. One was Philip the Evangelist, which is the first reference we see in the New Testament of an evangelist. So Philip the Evangelist and Stephen, which we don't know what his, if he was in the fivefold ministry per se, or if he was, what it was. It doesn't recognize that. So we see two of those, at least, they kept on pursuing God from a motivational gifting and something that they had been instructed to do in the church. Amen. Say instructed to do. Not everything that we do in the kingdom of God is something that we have per se heard from God. Thank you for your enthusiasm here today. Amen. But things that through the course of being in a church, we are instructed to do. Can you say amen to that? How many of you done some things in the church out of instruction? Amen. So, Chris, come here. Will you move that lectern over about 2 feet? Yes. Kind of slide over or something. Okay, stop. Now move it back where it was. Right, there was a point to me doing that. Thank you, sir. Amen. He was instructed to do that. Amen. Amen. This is something we need to be in the flow with in these last days in the end time church. Amen. For us to move forward and for the body of Christ to gain ground back. Amen. We need to be on point, say on point, in what God wants us to do in the body of Christ. Amen. Come on. And your pastor says, move over here 2 feet, move over there 2 feet. If it's a lot of people, they want to start at the top. Amen. And without starting at the bottom, moving up. Last I checked in the military, you move up in rank. I mean, is that okay? Amen. I didn't mean to get real serious right now. I'm just laying some groundwork for where we're going, because I believe that God has called us to great things. And when I say us, I'm specifically speaking about us. Because of the level of word understanding that you have. Amen? And when you've got a greater level of understanding, there's a greater level of responsibility. Can you say amen to that? So in every generation, God has raised up someone to lead, testify, bring forth revelation and manifestation to his people and those who do not yet know him. Amen. There's a lot of people that do not yet know God. And we have a responsibility. Amen. And it's not just to convert people. It's not what Jesus said. He said, go into all the world and make disciples of all men. He didn't say make converts. Now, to be sure, you won't make a disciple without first making a convert. A convert will always come before discipleship. That's why Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all men. Amen? So it's taken into, you know, common knowledge that we'll first make a convert from a person. Amen? We're going to convert them from whatever they're in. And it takes persuasion to convert a person. You take a person that's got their religion, they have 360 million gods or deities. I'll say sub-deities. That's Hinduism, okay? That's how many sub-deities they have, Krishna being the head deity, okay? So you've got that many deities, you're going to have to do some persuading. And there's an easier way than standing around and arguing with a person or debating with them. And I'm not against that at all. You understand? Because it has its place. Because if we cannot debate toe-to-toe with a person and win, I saw a lady on TV, and if I said her name, she's a very well-known minister. If I said her name, everybody would know who I was talking about. No, not Sherry Gaines. No, definitely not Sherry Gaines. Definitely not Sherry, Pastor Sherry in this, because this lady was on a talk show, public talk show, with an atheist to debate faith. And this guy ate her lunch and then some. Okay? And she could not defend her faith. And I was sitting there appalled. And her defense to the gospel was, well, you know, this is what I believe, so take it or leave it. And I sat there appalled. I said, that's it? That's what you got to give him. At least go over and wring his nose. Yeah. Why? Because of Bible, you'd be proving the scripture. So I can prove a scripture right now. Amen? See, I've been picking on Chris anyway, so I'll pick on him some more. Amen? The scripture says in Proverbs, the wringing of the nose draweth blood. Okay? So I could go over here and wring Chris's nose and blood come out, right? I just proved the word of God to him. And people have been won to the Lord. Evangelist won and got to the Lord one time like that. He said, you prove to me one scripture that's real. And it goes over to the guy, grabs his nose and twists it. And the guy's, his nose starts pouring with blood. And he said, and then he shows him the scripture. The wringing of the nose draweth blood. The guy got born again. Right? Well, hallelujah, amen. Don't go wringing people's nose, okay? Pastor Lee said, so we're bringing the fivefold ministry into our generation, into present day. The day and hour that pertains to us. And we live in a critical hour. Pastor Jim was sharing that earlier. This year, we live in a critical hour. Amen? I don't remember living in any era since I've been alive. Which hadn't been all that long, but I never remembered an era like this. Not in voting, not in anything. Not in the church world. Well, a lot of that time I wasn't in the church world. I was just in the world. So we've got a lot of work to do, amen? We've got a lot of, as it were, catching up to do, but as Pastor Jim Schitt said earlier, I believe it's restitution time and harvest time for the church. We have sown so much out into the gospel, to the four corners of the earth. And what's that? That harvest looks good. Amen? So we're bringing the fivefold ministry in our generation. the vision of it, the plan for it. There's the vision first. You always say anytime God does something, he'll start it with a word or a vision. You look at Noah's life, came with a vision. Amen. You look at David's life, you look at Joseph's life, a vision. It started with a vision, then a plan, and then there were challenges, or a challenge at least, and then the conquest and manifestation. The manifestation of the promise and the conquest did not precede the challenge. Amen? Come on, it didn't precede the challenge. It came, I mean, great victories have come through great battles. God gives us good news, but he gives us good news with power. There's good news. There's good news with power. There's good news with demonstration. There's good news with manifestation. Paul said, I come to you not in word only, but in demonstration of the Spirit and what? And power. I knew you didn't know that. So he said, well, so there's a manifestation of the Spirit and power with the good news. In other words, we've got good news, and we've got the manifestation of that good news. And if there's anything that our generation needs, it's not just hearing some good news, as Pastor Jack was sharing, hearing the same message over and over and over and over. That's why I left the denominational church that I went to as a kid. Because every week, I heard the same thing over and over and over and over. And then I kind of died on the vine, you know, because how many times do I have to hear this? I mean, I got it like 2 years ago. You know, do I need to hear it another 2 years? I say, I can't do that. Are you with me? Okay, so we've got good news, but this good news is with power, not in word only, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. There's a lot of talk nowadays. And let me explain this. And some I'm glad about. Some of the talk today I'm very glad about. There's, in other words, the word's out more. It's out more than it's ever been before. That part I am very happy about. I'm very glad about. How about you? How many of you know we need to even get out more so? Amen? But people are looking for more than word. They're looking for the manifestation of that word that we say we preach, that we proclaim. Amen? They're looking for the manifestation of it. Amen? That's what the word's looking for. So, and it seems like today, and I don't think I'm alone in this, but it seems like there's a lot of what I'll call hollow talkers. Does that make sense? People are talking, but it's hollow. There's no manifestation. There is no power with it. Amen? See, Jesus, when he walked the earth, he had not only the authority, but he had power. He had the authority not only to say, truck, stop, but to stop the truck. Come on. See, it's a good preaching on authority when you talk about the police officer and his authority to tell that truck to stop. But I love the part where if that truck does not stop, it's a rebellious truck, okay, then he turns into the Incredible Hulk and stops the truck, right? That's what Jesus had, right? He had the power to tell it the waves to cease and be still, and to stop the waves. I mean, he could turn them all in the air if he wanted. Come on. So some of the folks nowadays, they have, as Smith Wigglesworth said back in the turn of the last century, language. This lady came up to Smith Wigglesworth with some physical issues. He said, He said, "You got any faith?" And she starts just elaborating on all the faith she had. He said, "No, you don't." He said, "You've got language." She didn't have faith, she had language. And it seems like a lot of people, they have that today. They have language. Amen. But we've got the demonstration of power, signs and wonders. Amen. And there's a purpose to what we have. And our purpose is to bring the good news of the kingdom of God to the lost wherever and whoever they may be. Amen. Wherever and whoever. We was talking about ethnicities earlier. Amen. Whatever ethnicity they may be in. Whatever political view they may have. And some of them need it more than others. Amen. Our challenge is to get the message into people's lives. Amen. The message, as Pastor Jack put it, the message of God's kingdom. Jesus said, go preach the message of this kingdom, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. Now look at this. He said, I saw this very scripture on the Christian Science emblem downtown Lexington. It says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. I said, they probably never have done that at all, right? Because Christian Science is neither Christian or science or sense. Okay, so we've got the goods. God just wants us to give them. Amen? That's what Jesus said, didn't he? He said, freely you've received, no matter what he gives, freely give. Amen? In other words, start a fire that spreads. Start a fire that spreads. And there's a fire that's burning. I love in the book of Acts where the believers got together and they were all in one accord in one place. Somebody shared that earlier. It's Pastor Jack. He's talking about prayer. Amen. They were all in one accord in one place and the Spirit of God fell. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. Amen? They were all filled. Say all filled. See, God didn't fill some of them and the other and say, it's not my will for you to be filled. No, he filled them all. And the Holy Spirit fell upon all of them. Can you say all of them? Not a couple of them. Jesus healed them all. Can you say all? He touched everybody that came around him. If anybody reached out in faith, they received. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody that came to Jesus received. As many as believed on his name, gave he the power, authority, exousia, to become the sons of God with power. You've got the right to be God's child. He gave it to you. You've got the right to do what God wants you to do. He gave it to you. Start a fire that spreads. See, they started a fire. This is the part I love in the book of Acts. They started a fire and God blew on it. Come on. He blew on it. That's why I like the in the book of Acts. See, they got on fire and you start praying and pressing into God, you'll get on fire. Can you say amen? You'll get on fire, and then God will blow on that fire. And when the wind hits the fire, it spreads. Amen. I like to say it spreads through the preaching. It spreads through testimonials. Amen. Amen. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what. Well, I mean, we minister at the New Life Day Center a lot down in Lexington, Kentucky, to people that are transient, they're homeless. It's kind of what people would call down and outers. Some of these people have no hope in the natural sense. We give them hope. They don't have. We give it. We feed them. and we minister the gospel to them, and we teach them how to live. Amen? We don't give them a handout, we give them a hand up to new life. Well, glory. Amen. And so many of them have come in and got new lives, miracles, signs, wonders. I love what Oral Roberts said about this end time move of God. The Holy Spirit told Brother Roberts before he transitioned into heaven, he said, I'm bringing back healing. Big time. Say big time.
Big time.
Now that's something for God to come to Oral Roberts. That had one of the biggest tents in the healing ministry. He said, I'm bringing back healing to the body of Christ big time. Say big time. So he's bringing it back big time, and then he said, with creative miracles. And that's a part, this next part surprised me, because he said, Oral Roberts said right after he shared that, he said, you know, up until that time, I'd not seen much in the lines of creative miracles. Oral Roberts said that. Now that astounded me, because I've seen some of the footage and I was like, what? This man was amazing when it came to, I would call him an expert in healing. He flowed in it like a fish in a river, a creek. Amen. Like God has called the body of Christ to today. So I believe that there's God's raising up great leaders still, but he's raising up great followers. Amen. Because if you follow in authority, you're going to lead in authority. Amen. I was thinking about this things that spread fire. Your testimony will spread a fire. You telling somebody else about what God did for you spreads a fire. Sam, spreading a fire. God's blowing on it. Say, God's going to blow on it. Lift your hands and say, God's going to blow on it. I'm starting a fire. He's already started it in me. He's going to blow on it. Say, blow on it. Holy Spirit. Now praise him for it. Come on, praise him for it. Amen. Glory to God. I'm thinking about, anytime you see signs, wonders, miracles, healings, I call them the dinner bell for salvation. It's like you see the old Western movies, and they start ringing that triangle or the dinner bell for food, and everybody comes running. Amen. Signs, wonders, and miracles are the dinner bell for salvation. They will turn somebody's head and somebody's faith toward God when nothing else will. And we're moving into this era. I just want to prep you a little bit for it. And how things spread. And sometimes you don't think they're spreading, and they're spreading. You may not think that word's spreading in your church. It's spreading. People are hearing. Amen. And so, we have a gentleman in our church, and I may have shared the testimony here before about him. But we were down at the day center. This has been a couple years back. That Darren began to help us. And one day I come in and I looked over at Darren. He was grimacing. I mean, like he is in excruciating pain. I said, Darren, what's going on? He said, my back. And he wasn't confessing anything negative at all. It's just you could tell he was in pain, right? He said, my back's been causing me pain. I said, let's take care of that right now. And say, let's see what God will do. Let's see if this thing works. I said, let's take care of that. Say, let's take care of that. That's the That's the attitude we need to have in the body of Christ. I've got a favorite saying that I've used this for a couple of years now. It's healable. It's healable. People come in with you all kinds of things. All kinds of things. They'll come in your church, all kinds of mess and problems in their life. Just look at them and smile real big like we do and say, it's healable. Say, it's healable. Then say, well, if they say it's not healable, there's no cure for it. I'm sorry to hear that. No, just say it's healable. Shout, it's healable.
Healable.
Say it three times.
Healable.
Give him some praise for it. That's awesome news. Is that not great news? It doesn't matter how many specialists they've been to. What's the word say? It's healable. Amen. So I said, Darren, let's take care of this. I didn't even know Darren that well. He hadn't been coming, but very short time. He said, okay. So I placed my hand on his back. Power of God went through his back, took my hand off, and Darren does this. I didn't think anything about it. We see this, okay? But after that, I said, praise God. You know, I wasn't downplaying it. I just didn't understand the background of what just happened and what he'd been walking out. Come on. Sometimes you don't know what people are walking out. Amen. And so I said, that's a good thing, yeah. So Darren says, you don't understand what just happened. Along those lines, I said, talk to me. He said, what I just did was impossible for me to do. Clinically impossible. The surgeons that operated on his back put a pound of steel around his lower lumbar region. Okay? Basically, the lower lumbar region was held together by pins, bolts, and a cage. And God just did a creative, oh my God. A creative miracle in Darren's back, and enabled him to do something miraculous by doing that and touching his toes. Amen. Can you give him some glory?
Yes. Hallelujah.
So this story's not done. Hold on. Say, hold on. So Darren, some time ago, this is the last, before our last ward rally, he goes home and he's talking to his parents about all this. And he's talking to his parents about all the miracles that they're seeing and that people have been coming in, getting at the day center and all. And so his mom says, I want him to pray for me. So our last word rally, Bobby G. Burke, she'd finish up that Thursday evening, I believe it was. And Darren's mom's there. So Darren brings his mom up and says, he said, Pastor Lee, this is my mom. I told you what's going on with her. Her knees are messed up. She cannot have an operation because the last time she's had anesthesia on her, she died. Okay? So she can't have an operation. That's bad, you know. So they couldn't give her anesthesia. I said, that's okay. God can. I'm telling you, I've seen God operate on some folks. Anesthesia, I mean divine anesthesia, you can't beat it. Because you should get drunk in the Holy Ghost under, amen? You come out feeling good, man. Morphine won't touch it. Just saying. Okay, so this man, so she says, it's bone on bone on the knees. I said, that's healable. So I said, sit down here. So I placed my hands on her knees, and her legs below her kneecaps were twisted. She's pigeon-toed. Her whole leg was so twisted it bent her toes in. And so I said, there's something going on with your back, isn't there, your lower back. She said, how'd you know? I said, this is going on. She said, yeah. I said, stand up. God's going to heal you right now. She stands up. God heals her back on the spot. And I said, sit down again. You're fixing to get your legs totally healed here. So lay hands on her knees, and her legs straightened totally out, perfectly straight. Somebody's getting a healing right now. Glory to God. Boy, I love that. And then so she walks out of there perfectly straight. You know, walk with them, you know. And so we see people healed, and I train people to get people healed. We do. Our whole ministry does, for that matter. Amen. We train people. That's why the word says teach people who be able to teach others also. That word teach means to instruct. And instruct doesn't mean, hey, go do this. It's showing them how to do it. Amen. So at any rate, so this lady, Darren's mom, goes back to where she's from in Stanton, Kentucky, to her church. And she's at her church, and they said, oh, you got the operation? She said, on your knees? She said, yeah. They said, you are walking great. Man, you healed up so quick. They said, where'd you get that operation at? She said, Grace Fellowship of Lexington. Yeah. Come on. So, Darren's mom takes it to Darren's dad. Darren's mom had taken it to her church. Come on. They're getting turned on to it. Amen? So Darren's dad had kidney failure where they were getting ready to do an implant for dialysis, which is, from my understanding, very severe. Because it was like a, what do they call it? I don't know what they call it. Anyway, it's bad. Okay? It is severe. I mean, it was like last step before you die for dialysis, because it's an implant of some sort they had to do. So she tells him, and Darren tells him, how they got healed. So next time, he comes to church. They bring him to church. What's that? That's the last night of the word rally. Amen? So they come in, and they start telling me, you know, what's going on in his body. I said, glory to God. I said, it's healable. Say, it's healable.
It's healable.
So, you know, they bring him up, and I said, laid my hands on, commended that to creative miracle. And she'd already got creative miracle. Darren got creative miracle. Mama got creative miracle. Daddy's fixing to get a creative miracle. Come on. You know, it's funny, when you got something, it's easier to give it when you've experienced it. Amen. Now you can give it anyway, but when you've already got it and you've experienced and manifested it, it's a lot easier to give it out, isn't it? Amen. You can still work it anyway. And even if you haven't received it, work it. So I pray for his dad. And his dad goes on by his way. It's like a matter of fact. Okay, I got it. Bye. So he goes back home, and they had a specialist, because his case was severe. They had a specialist come in, kidney specialist. And the kidney specialist sits down, say, all things are possible for me because I believe. So the specialist comes up with his charts, and he's sitting down with Darren's dad. He said, are you so-and-so? He said, yes. He said, and he looks at him, and he said, I'm looking at your charts here. He said, I've got the charts pretty much all the way through, and then I've got a current chart. He said, these aren't the same people. Come on. He said, these aren't the same people here, because he said, this was going on in your kidneys? He said, yes. He said, it's not anymore. Come on. Glory. Glory. That's what I'm talking about. Good news spreads like a fire. Amen. Just like bad news does. That's like when you turn your TV on, you ever hear the bad news? It spreads, doesn't it? Bad news sells, bad news spreads. How much more should the good news? How much more should it catch on like a fire? Amen. We got something to shout about. We've got something to shout about. If we're going to reach our generation, now I'm wrapping up here. If we're going to reach our generation with this glorious message of the gospel, of the kingdom of God, which includes mass healings, signs, wonders, and miracles for anyone who will receive it. I'm telling you what, that is just wonderful news. For anyone who will receive it. It's for everybody. We have to be ringing this dinner bell. We must have more than language. We must have manifestation from tip to toe. And God is a very specific God, isn't He? We had this gentleman come in several weeks back to the center. And he came up, elderly gentleman. He came up and he said, I need you to pray for me. He came up after service and I said, sure. I said, well, you know, he said, this guy's, I guess his monthly pension or whatever, these two guys came up to him and robbed him. And mind you, these people are transient. Most of them are homeless. He didn't have anywhere to turn, you know. Not to somebody who could help, really. And I said, what's going on? He said, I was robbed apparently at gunpoint, and they took my wallet and all my pension and everything in it. Look at your neighbor and say, God can fix that. What's the favorite saying? God's got this, right? That's Olivia's famous quote there. One of them, anyway. God's got this, amen? So I said, come up here. I said, all you need to do is agree with what I'm about to tell you. Just agree with it. You don't have to do anything. You just agree and receive what I'm about to say and pray. So he comes up and I said, God, right now in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for David. I believe his name was David, wasn't it? So I pray for David. I said, every dollar gets returned to him. Now that's unheard of. Unheard of. But when you've already seen that type of miracle, okay, it's easier to believe God for the next one. I said, every dollar that's missing from his wallet will be returned to him. His pension will be returned, whatever was missing from it. And the men that robbed him will be incarcerated. That's good, isn't it? Specific. Was that specific? Well, in, what was it, 1 week he came back? And this guy was cheesing from ear to ear. And you could just tell that he could not wait to get up there and talk to me, right? And I knew, I said, David's got some good news here. So he comes up and he's like this. Okay? And I said, hey, David, how are things going? He said, you're not going to believe this. I said, if it's God, I'll believe it. So he comes up and he says, he said, the police came to my house. I said, oh? He said, yeah. He said, and they said, David so-and-so, they said, we found your wallet. Here's your wallet. He opens his wallet. Everything's in it that was missing. Come on, everything. That's a creative miracle right there, isn't it? Okay. So all of that was returned, and they said, oh, and we caught the guys who did it. Amen. God's just a very intricate, specific, loving God, isn't he? I just took care of every little detail. See, that's that dinner bell, too. It shows people how intricately and intimately he loves them and is willing to undertake in their lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? Think about that. Think about if you were away from God, didn't know God. Amen. Didn't know God from a bucket of paint. Right? And somebody comes up to you and says, this, this, and this is going on in you, but God's taking care of it right now. Whether it was physical or whatever, emotional. And God instantly manifests himself to you. Or even if it wasn't instantly, he manifests himself to you. Amen? And you walk away saying, dear God, what just happened there? Amen? That's God showing that individual how much he loves him. And so, where before, God would raise up men and women, I believe in these last days, he's still raising up men and women, but it's the body of Christ. It's the church that he is reaching through, loving through, and touching through people like you and me. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything today? Amen. Amen.